Super awkward fun cast. You're listening to the super awkward fun cast. Yeah. Welcome to the 32nd episode, I guess, of I knew you were going to play with that thing.
Hey,
of the Super Awkward Funcast. I know you. I know what you're going to... You're going to break it.
It's broken.
It was already broken. No, I use it all the time.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't opening and closing. That's why...
We have to explain what we're looking at. Okay. He was playing with my clothespin thing that I use...
Broken.
I used to clip... chip bags. I knew you were going to play everything.
You weren't clipping anything with that. It was
God
broken.
Anyway, this
Lies.
Is Steven.
Oh, look.
This is Steven. Steven's Hi. Here. Playing with my shit again. I feel like this is too low. Let me...
Ellen has a bunch of cool stuff on her desk. I mean, it's just... That's not my fault.
I tried to take some stuff off and hide it.
But
stop.
Why are you hiding it?
Don't fucking... Please don't.
Here's a tap card.
I can't have everything out of order.
How does your tap card still work? This looks like it's ancient.
I don't know.
Mine expired.
I don't use that.
Went on there, I still had like $5 on it.
That's why it's there.
Why was it under the thing?
Things are under there. Please don't. Please don't. Hey. Please respect my privacy.
It's not private if it's public.
Anyway, speaking of private and public. So we have a virus.
Who has a virus?
Who's
I
a fun
about,
virus
I about
again?
I ain't prepared to talk about any of this other crap. I don't care about this media inflated fear mongering. I'd like to talk about movies.
Okay.
Let's talk
well,
about
we
movies.
Can talk about how it's all manufactured.
I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about movies.
Okay.
I thought we were
going to
talk about movies. I prepared
well,
for that.
Well, the Golden Globes happened.
Yeah, I don't care about that. I'm talking about the Oscars, man.
And then the Oscar noms came out, so we could go over those.
I've accidentally seen all but two of the Oscar nominated movies.
Oh my gosh. Like that's good luck.
Wow. I know.
Oscars.
Well, I have to give the Oscars credit this year because they actually nominated movies people saw.
That's true.
And I think that's interesting. I mean, I think that's fascinating that they would do that, finally.
It's different.
Different. I mean, the two that I didn't see are two that I will never see anyway, so...
Okay.
That's what people were like, listening. Like, well, listen to the movies. I'm like, well...
Which ones did you not see? The Lighthouse, I'm guessing.
I saw Lighthouse.
That's
not nominated for Best Picture.
It's nominated for something.
For like Art Direction or something. I don't think it's nominated for anything.
It's
important.
Not nominated for anything major.
I was talking about the Best Picture nominations. I mean, I looked at the other stuff too.
Wait, right here. Cinematography.
Yeah, so...
That's kind of big.
Yeah, I think 1917 will win that, but...
It's not like sound editing.
I mean, it's probably...
Star Wars.
It's... Well, that's, I don't know about Saturday Night for Star Wars. I mean,
I think that's not.
I watched a movie this year that I thought this movie was going to win for sound editing for sure, because it was so interestingly mixed in the theater. Like, I don't know, it was very interesting, immersive. No, I mean, The Lighthouse. All that movie had going for it is art direction and cinematography.
I see.
And acting. I think the acting was pretty good.
Yeah, they say it's good.
The movie itself was pretty stupid overall, like pretty pointless, but...
It's not my thing.
Actually, I don't think it would be your thing. I think if you saw it would be your thing.
Oh, shit, I totally got that right, that Star Wars was nominated for sound editing. I just guessed.
That's usually where the cool movies go.
Joker.
Star Wars, Avengers, Joker.
Ford versus Ferrari.
I think that was the movie I was thinking about.
1917.
That's fucking... That movie technically is fantastic. And it should win every technical award because it's amazing technically. It's an achievement, like a real achievement making a movie like that. But I don't know. Nothing this year beats Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Like nothing. As far as like a Hollywood, you didn't see it. As far as
I did see it.
Then you didn't see it.
Yeah, I did.
You probably didn't even, you probably fast forwarded through it. That's
no, I did not, actually.
I think you did.
I didn't fast forward anything. I can't because it was the whole cast. I had to watch the whole thing.
Yeah, I've seen that movie about 6 times. And every time I watch it, something new comes out of it. And it's just, it's the quintessential Hollywood movie. Like about Hollywood for people in Hollywood. It's an insider movie, I think. More of like civilians probably won't understand it. But I think that a lot of people that have engaged in any creative aspect of Hollywood in the past 10 or 15 years are going to understand it, because It's just about the changing of the guard. It's about it's essentially
it's Inglourious Bastards in Hollywood.
No, it's not, because there's no machine guns except for the movie.
There's a flamethrower scene.
Nazis. Because it all ties together as far as like a dragon, as far as fairy tales goes. There's a fairy tale, there's a dragon, there's a princess, there's a castle, there's royalty, there's peasants. It's all
there's Polanski. There's Polanski. Fine. Everything's fine. We're all gonna be fine. Nothing happened. It's all good.
Well, no, but they didn't die like they were supposed to. You know, like that. I mean, that's, you know, it's a fairy tale in every aspect. And I think that's you know, the combination, the multi-layered performances of like Leo DiCaprio is playing, basically playing a character who's playing himself. And like he's playing every other actor in Hollywood, especially Brad Pitt, who are like on the verge of becoming, you know, leading men into supporting cast into nothing. You know, that's a pretty heavy part to play when you're facing that yourself. You know, Leo DiCaprio's rapidly falling out of relevance because he's not young anymore. So it's like you got to figure out, you know, you're not going to be able
to looking for it in girls.
You're not going to play a leading man anymore, and you're not going to play, you know, the hero anymore. You're going to end up playing these bit parts, or, you know, coming back in a revival role. And, you know, it just has a lot to say. Like I said, I don't think civilians understand it. I don't think people that have been involved in the creative aspect of Hollywood don't understand it. And they just don't get it. They'd rather go see, you know, they'd rather have the Irishman forced down their throat and be like, oh, here's greatness, when it's just a bunch of mediocre bullshit. You know, or, I mean, there's that's what I'm saying. Like, in the list of nominated movies, there are no other movies that bring nothing new. They bring nothing new. None of it thrills me. None of it excites me, except for Once Upon a Time, because at least it was something different and new.
I don't think it was new. I think it was very similar to older movies as well, and it was like a love letter to Hollywood, which is going
to... But see, that's what people say, it's a love letter to Hollywood, but it wasn't a love letter to Hollywood. It's an indictment of Hollywood instead. It's an accusation.
It's an indictment of
cults. Well, no, because the cult had very little to do with the movie. It was just about... Those things were the hook. Those were the things that make people talk about the movie. Because
it's not most of the movie is just like him fucking acting and shit.
Yeah.
Like Leo acting. And then in the scene with freaking... did I say freaking? Fucking. With fucking Luke Perry for 2 minutes or something. Like, it was insanely short, like, his time in that movie.
But it wasn't a Luke Perry movie. So, like, I can see if Luke Perry was billed as a top actor in the movie, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't.
But he wasn't. But that's the thing. That's what Hollywood is. Hollywood is a relegation of bit parts. And that's where Luke Perry went. He went from being a heartthrob and a nationwide sensation to being 2 minutes in a movie.
Like, well, no, he was on Riverdale as well, and he was a draw.
But you know, 85% of people in America don't watch Riverdale. So, like, they wouldn't even know he was on there. All they know if it was 90210.
Well, the people who watched knew, and they
the 15% of people in America don't watch it. But if you asked 10 people out of 10 on the street,
it's probably at least 25%.
What about Luke Perry? They would say 90210. They wouldn't mention Riverdale. 10 out of 10 people would not mention Riverdale. They don't care. They don't know it. Like that again. But then again, that's where he ended up. He ended up playing a bit part. Or at least like a semi-lead part, or
best character
on a CW show on a fifth network. So
the most relatable character,
you know. But that's where Rick Dalton ended up, right? He ended up on these big shows that he ended up playing the second bit part in, because he was no longer a leading man. And then he had to go to Italy to play these leading roles because he was no longer relevant in America.
Well, yeah, that happens.
That's what happens. That's why it's not a love letter to Hollywood. It's an indictment of Hollywood. It's an indictment of the youth culture.
But still, like the way they make Hollywood look, and they're looking at all these different locations and stuff. Like, that's...
Yeah, and so? So what's different than any other period piece? It's just a period piece set in the 60s. So what's the difference between a period piece set in the 60s
or
the
1860s? That this is one of his worst films.
No. It might be his best movie overall.
And it's a little convenient for him to go after Hollywood after covering for Harvey Weinstein for decades.
But he didn't. In the end, he had to stand up just as much as everyone else and say, I'm just...
But he had to after the fact, after he got...
It's like everybody did. There's nobody that was involved with Harvey Weinstein that didn't back up after the fact. Either they didn't say something after, or they didn't break away after.
Meryl Streep didn't ever do anything.
Meryl Streep wasn't involved with him, though. She was never in a Weinstein movie. So
she thanked him. She was in a movie with him.
Oh, well.
But she thanked him at the Oscars. There
are also some people that won't.
Or no, she called him God.
There are also some people that won't. There's some people that won't. Because Harvey Weinstein is not an anomaly. He's not.
No, I know. He's like not, Louis B. Mayer.
He's like anybody. Joe Skank, and there are girls and guys that do that shit in Hollywood. There are women that do that, or men that do that.
You know, I was watching the Disaster Artist, and I was thinking, like, what if this agent chick, you know, the agent that Sharon Stone played, what if she was just out there trying to get tail or whatever from all these guys?
It's almost like sports, right? So, like, sports, there's no reason to become an athlete other than to fuck. That's the only reason you want to be an athlete. You just want fucking sex. That's all you want. You want to be an athlete. You want to be an actor. You just want to fuck. That's it. Because and that's where it starts. It's like that's where your power gets leveraged. So any woman or any man in charge of actors has fucked an actor.
You just said athlete, and we're not supposed to talk about the...
Oh, Kobe Bryant, the fucking rapist? You mean that guy? No, man. Like
speaking of which,
my only thought about that,
alleged rapist.
Because no, he was a rapist. He was a rapist. So the only thing, because that woman went to the hospital with anal injuries. Like, she was a rapist. He fucked her in the ass against her will. Okay, and then tried to pay her off. Like, it doesn't work. So people now are celebrating Kobe, but they denigrate Trump. Like, it's the same thing.
It's the same exact thing.
It's the Mike Tyson thing all over again. Like, Mike Tyson was a convicted rapist. Oh my gosh,
so many people are like pro Mike Tyson.
He was a convicted rapist. He destroyed that woman's life.
He's a fucking domestic abuser.
He is a horrible person. He threw Robin Gibbons through a fucking wall.
At least. Okay. He's an abuser.
Well, this is all that, right? But people look at it and they think, cause I saw a guy on Facebook just post now. He's like, oh, fuck this bitch. It took her 2 seconds to post about Kobe's rape allegations after he's. I'm like, yeah, because he's a fucking rapist, and he's a chronic philanderer. He does nothing.
Yeah,
he contributes nothing to society.
I was just saying, like he bought a ring to excuse himself from cheating on his wife, and she went out in public and wore it, and was like, "Yeah, I'm standing by."
And see that, but see, to me, that's fine. Like that's their business, so that's their business. Which is the same thing I think about any other, like Bill Clinton when he was in trouble.
But it's probably a bloodline.
I always thought Bill Clinton, that was his business. Like, if he wants to cheat on his wife, that's his business. It's not. That's why he ended up being president, because he came up
cheat
and he was
all
like,
you want,
and
like,
he was like, "Look, I did it. I cheated. It's my marriage." And you're right. It's your marriage. Yeah. If that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do between you and your wife. Doesn't matter to me.
I just remember Ray Rice too. That guy.
I don't know who that is.
Oh yeah, well, he's another athlete. It's an athletic thing. Like, these athletes think they can get away with everything.
Athletes are nothing but thugs, and they're brainless, mindless morons most of the time.
Oh, remember that Chris Benoit guy?
The wrestler.
Yeah, that was insane.
And that's the wrestler.
Oh, the other guy. With the one leg. That dude.
I don't know.
He killed somebody. I can't remember.
But you know, athletics to me are havens for criminals. And there are places you can go if you're a criminal that doesn't matter what you've done in life. You can still have a career in doing something. Unless you decide to continue your criminal activities while you're doing that, which is stupid. Because if you're lucky enough to play a game and make some money, there's no reason you should be doing other fucking stupid shit like fighting dogs or raping chicks or selling drugs.
Oh my gosh, I just remembered freaking Mike Vick, one of my own, from ATL, represent.
Right. Right, and so people are still doing that shit with him too. Where they're like celebrating him, and you know, now granted, he went to jail for what he did. Like, that's the thing. I took it with Mike Tyson too.
I said Mike Vick. I meant Michael Vick. I don't know him like that. That's the
thing about Mike Tyson too. Is like, I give Mike Tyson half a pass because he did admit to what he did, unlike a lot of these people did.
That's true.
He apologized to the girl. She wrote a book and made some money off it, and he went to jail and he like served his time.
Yeah.
So I can give him a little bit of half a break on that because he did. And he just seemed like, you know, he's like a gorilla. Like, he is like a mindless.
He did, like, bite that guy's ear off.
Well, but that's part of the, to me, that's part of the showmanship, like the sport. Like, I mean, I know. It's
weird.
Yeah,
it's like old school.
I mean, he's in the ring, you know. Why is my phone buzzing? Just 1 second. I'm sorry.
How dare you?
I know. I need to turn this off.
Don't you know we're on, like, the preeminent podcast? Like,
I know.
The nation's favorite podcast. Where if I endorse Bernie Sanders, everyone will go crazy because I'm controversial.
I just registered to vote yesterday for the first time in 12 years.
Or if I say I probably will vote for him, maybe.
I'm not going to vote for Bernie. Now, I don't mind if people do vote for Bernie Sanders. Okay, I don't mind if Bernie wins. I don't mind. I don't have a problem with that. I didn't have a problem with him if he won over Hillary Clinton. I don't want if he wins
now. I don't care either way.
I don't think you'll get anything done. I think it'll be.
I love
like,
how we started out Oscars. Now we're over
well,
here.
Well, because you keep.
We're coming back to the Oscars. Don't worry.
You're doing your job. You're steering the conversation. Yeah. And it's, you know, but I don't think that anybody, like Hillary Clinton said nobody likes Bernie. I believe that. I believe what she meant is nobody in politics likes Bernie. It's not that the people don't like him. They obviously
do.
Yeah,
that was awkward for her.
But she's right. The people in Congress don't like him and they don't want to work with him. I think it's worse. I think it's, that's why it was like when he was running with, against Clinton, against Trump and Clinton, I thought, you know, I would rather see Trump or Bernie win the nomination and go on to be president rather than Hillary, because at least Trump and Bernie bring something different to the whole mix, which absolutely happened. I mean, Trump brought everything different to the mix, positive or negative. He brought so much difference and change to the presidency that it ended up being, I think it ended up being a positive in the long run, because we're gonna have to have a whole different definition of what our president is after Trump is there, because people are still gonna want some aspects of what he is versus some aspects of what he is not. And I think Bernie has a lot of aspects of what Trump is, where populism comes into play, where the voice of like the common man comes into play, and where a diverse voice comes into play. And I think that Trump brought a lot of that up where people weren't having it. You know, the poor, the uneducated, the sort of disenfranchised manufacturing base of country, like they had a voice finally. And it was not, maybe it's not the greatest voice ever, but it's somebody speaking for them. Not like Hillary Clinton was not. Wouldn't even go visit them during her campaign. You know, wouldn't speak up. They called them deplorable. Made fun of them.
That was...
Right? And so...
is Jeffrey Epstein deplorable? Is Harvey Weinstein deplorable? No. It's these guys.
Yeah, I mean...
Is Ghislaine Maxwell deplorable? No, she's fine.
I don't know.
Let's invite her to the wedding.
We've had this discussion before, like with Jeffrey Epstein, where it's like... Yes, I mean, what he was doing was terrible, but... He was also providing a service that has existed since there's been people.
Yes, he's just the poster child.
He's just been there providing something for people that are going to get that one way or the other. Well, he's a criminal. You know, I'm not saying he's not a bad guy.
Not necessarily. I mean, I'm just saying like he's the one that they threw under
the
bus.
He's the one that got caught.
Yeah.
And he, there were a million
Jeffrey
Epstein's
out there. And he didn't kill himself.
No, he absolutely
everybody
did not
knows
kill
that.
Himself.
Even SNL knows
he
that.
He did not kill himself. But, you know, he. And plus, there are places in the world where his services are illegal, you know, where people, the cultural things, people want that stuff, and you operate on a different moral level. And
I mean, there are so many countries with age of consent, it's like 12, 11.
Right. I mean, Middle Eastern countries, 14. Southeastern Asian countries, even though they criminalize it for outsiders, they do it themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just places where, you know, it's the place where heroin is legal. Like, it's just...
Yeah.
It's just, he just got...
Oh, and there's definitely drugs involved in this, too.
Well, absolutely. I don't think Jeffrey Epstein was just about kids.
Yeah.
I think he was more about, what do you want? I get it for you.
Yeah. Like, and eventually they'll make a movie out of it and it'll win an Oscar.
I'm sure they already have. I'm sure they already have.
That's what they do. They do the crimes, then they punish the criminals a little bit to where it's appropriate, or they don't at all.
Or they murder
and they die. And then they make a movie out of it, and they make more money off of the public who got fucked over in the first place.
Yeah, and Harvey Weinstein, I think, too, is another guy who
was
operating sort of in the same...
And they knew each other. How fun.
Well, of course, they were rich. You know, the rich people all know each other.
But, yeah, they were, like, photographed together as well.
Well, so. Yeah, and I look at that,
I'm
too.
I'm just saying, like,
but
you know, I could walk up
to you on the street and say, hey, let me get a picture with you.
Yeah, exactly.
And you don't know who I am, but...
That's why
you
don't want to, like...
And you get a picture, and then later on someone said, oh, you know him. I'm like, I didn't know that
guy. That's why people, like, okay, like, they brought out, like, certain people bring up like Elon Musk and his relationship with Ghislaine Maxwell. You don't know that relationship. You saw one picture. You don't know if they just met or whatever.
Or he may not have any idea what she actually does. He may just know she's a rich person. She's in the same rich person kind of sphere as I am. I know her. She's friends with all these famous people.
I will say, like, Bette Midler really needs to delete that tweet that she had about Terramar Project, because people have used it against her, and obviously that chick is not legit and you want to
get
rid of that.
Well, but who's really putting any... What is Bette Midler doing for the world? You know what I mean? Like, it's okay if she wants to. She can say whatever she wants and do whatever she wants.
Yeah, it's just like if I said something and then it turned out the person that I was tweeting about or the organization went kaput because of my child trafficking operation, I might want to delete that tweet so it wouldn't keep coming up to bite me in the ass.
Yeah, I suppose.
Just
I mean,
for your own sake.
But people, Americans still venerate, like, Hezbollah. You know, and, yeah, and they, exactly. Now suddenly they're the good guys because we're bombing Iran. And it's like,
yeah.
Yeah, but Hezbollah is a criminal organization. Like, so mm-hmm. yes, they build hospitals and schools, and oh, they do so good, many they do some tweets. Public tweets. Goods in their countries. But at what price?
Yeah.
And you can't be saying, like, Iran is suddenly a good guy because we're bombing them. Like, they're terrible people.
The thing is, there are no good guys. I've
No, there are no good guys.
Everybody should know that. There's no good guys.
There are no good guys.
The good guys are at home in bed having bombs dropped on them. And their children most of the time.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. But it's like, there are no good guys. And I also say there are no bad guys, really. I mean, there's just...
Everything's so flawed. Like, everything is just like... A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this. You should know that by now, all these anti-heroes you guys worship and everything, and, like, the Breaking Bad show and, like, the Joker movies and everything. So you should know that people are more than what, you know, what they appear to be.
Yeah, and it is so much more it to is it. About
abuse.
What you are prepared to do to preserve your way of life. And if you're
that's
happy
such
with
an old story too.
But that is the oldest story.
Exactly.
Because it's, you know, I think about...
It's probably in the Bible too, or the Quran as well.
Well, the Quran and the Bible, those religious texts talk a lot about releasing the self and, like, mm-hmm. you know, letting go of material possessions and
mm-hmm.
and sort of surpassing this need for the preservation of the self and more about the preservation of the whole. But...
I feel like Buddhism is a little bit like that.
Buddhism is very much like that. Hinduism is very... Eastern philosophies are very much...
A lot of good tenets of religion, I think.
But you also have to realize that the religious leaders of those... of those particular religions aren't living those lives. And what mainly what they're exactly. talking about is the people that follow them need to live that way
mm-hmm.
To keep them subservient.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it became, anyway. Let's say that the idea of living for the whole is actually very good. It's good. It keeps the body healthy to mm-hmm. be able to live for the body instead of living for the cell.
Yeah.
But it's been corrupted in a way
as
that...
As so many things have.
And as everything is. Because,
yeah.
because again, it becomes about self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there are people who feel that their self-preservation is worth more than someone else's.
Exactly.
So.
On that note, like, I will say, in terms of movies, I was glad I didn't have to watch this in the theater. Someone laughed my ass off, and it was Rocket Man. What a mess. I watched that on a plane, though. It's still not the worst movie of the year. I will say that. But I don't know what was going on. Did you see that one? Because
no.
It was nominated?
You know what it says? I rented it on Google, but I let Heather watch it, my roommate, and I didn't end up watching it.
Dude.
It never interested me.
It could have been made at any point, and it didn't make any sense because it was just literally the delusions. I mean, it was like Joker with no actual plot.
Right.
That's what I would describe
it
as.
Yeah, I didn't...
Not Joker, but yeah, Joker. Yeah,
yeah,
the name of the movie.
The two movies I didn't see off the list, off the 10 Oscar list this year is Marriage Story
and
Little Women.
I've not seen Little Women because it was not nominated for a SAG Award, and I only watched the SAG Award nominees.
One of the actors was nominated in that.
Not in the SAG Awards.
Oh, I thought they were.
Yeah.
I thought the ensemble was nominated.
No.
Huh. That's interesting. Yeah, I just don't. I have no, absolutely zero interest in both of those movies.
I had no interest in Marriage Story. I watched it. There were parts that didn't work for me, but ultimately it was a pretty decent film.
Is it an Oscar-worthy film? Is it an Oscar-nominated?
I mean, I don't really care.
Well, you have
Oscars
to care
don't
because
really,
you're in the business. You
they don't matter as much as people think, but
until you're in a movie that has one nominated for it.
Yeah. It's all political anyway. It's all like popular.
It's all political. All of them are political. Even the SAG Awards are political.
So
political
I don't think it'll win much of anything because it's
no,
just not
it's only gonna be
game.
it's gonna be between The Irishman and Once Upon a Time and probably
Parasite in 1970.
Fuck no. 1917 probably is the dark horse candidate in there. Parasite is so fucking overrated that I mean, it's just like if they made that movie in English, if that was an English language movie, no one would have went to see it. I don't know why Americans have to give so much credence to foreign language movies because they're in a foreign language. Like I watch this movie, I'm like, first of all, if you've ever seen the show Shameless, that's all this movie is. It's that plus like, I don't know. Some movie where people are hiding in the walls. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of movies like that. But it just didn't really... I thought, again, if this was in English, no one would have cared. It's the fact that it's in Korean.
I like Bong Joon-ho.
Well, I like the host. I thought the host was like scary and funny and weird and desolate and bleak and had a message. But it wasn't.
It was about the family as well. It was like family dynamic was very similar.
But who cares? You know, it's like
But I like the acting as well.
But is it worth all this hype?
Production design.
Is it worth being called one of the greatest movies of all time? Is it worth an Oscar nomination?
I believe so, and some people do.
But why? Okay, why?
Because it's like
what innovations does it bring to the genre of film that make it an Oscar worthy or whatever award worthy movie?
I really loved the camera movement and the way that they incorporated the entire house and all the different crevices.
So how is it better than 1917? Which is shot.
I don't know. I haven't seen that.
Well, you should see that.
Compare.
That I think is going to be the dark horse winner. Maybe if anything else stands a chance to beat those two, because I think The Irishman is going to win. Personally, I didn't like that movie, but politically, I think it's like. There's this war of snobbery going on in the Academy and in the voting body that is sort of saying Irishman versus Marvel. And it's like, if that movie came like the standard
you mean
bearer.
DC?
No, because Martin Scorsese called out Marvel, not
yeah,
not
yeah.
DC. No one's calling out DC. No one gets.
I mean, he
DC.
Did kind of call.
He called
I
out
heard he, some shit that he said about
he,
Joker.
He, well, because he was originally attached to direct that movie.
Yeah, he was awkward.
He was on it for 2 years. He was attached.
I know. I watched the interview with him on the panel.
And then he decided not to do it
with
for whatever reason. And then they decided to make a Scorsese movie out of it anyway with Todd Phillips. It's a pretty good forgery. Like, it's not bad.
Which is why I don't think that will win. Against the Irishman.
Joaquin's going to win because it's like the popular choice.
Yeah, Joaquin will win.
And he's done.
And he knows he'll win.
Well, he's done great work before. And
Master, anybody?
The Master was fucking amazing.
He was the best part of it.
Which
Master.
Was another, which is sort of like, if you watch movies side by side, you see why I wasn't so impressed with Joker necessarily, because it's the same character.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same Joaquin.
Yeah, he does kind of.
He's like a Jack Nicholson type, right? Jack doesn't ever play a different character. He always plays Jack Nicholson playing a different character.
But you have to agree that the last part, like the, well, how about another joke, Murray? That part is classic. That's going to go down in history as one of the best scenes of all time.
It was a pretty good movie. And I did like it the second time I saw it more than I liked the first time.
And Hildur is going to win best original score as well.
She should.
Yeah.
You know, I got in a fight with a friend of mine.
Trying to get back into the
She was talking about the, you know, the lack of female representation.
Do you think
in the Oscars.
They'll win makeup and hairstyling as well against Bombshell? I think it's between those two.
Bombshell is pretty good. I mean, as far as the makeup, I mean, I didn't see the movie, but obviously the makeup, I can see it in the trailer.
Dude, like, the makeup was the best part. The
I mean, everybody looks pitch. I mean, John Lithgow's a little
that movie
bit off.
Sucks, by the way.
It seems like it'd be bad, but
it's really awful. It's like Vice. It's like trying to be Vice, but it ain't even. Close.
Vice
and
good.
Vice wasn't even that
I like
as
Vice.
Good as The Big Short, but The Big Short was kind of first, kind of started that
well,
trend.
Well, The Big Short took a very, very difficult topic.
Yes. I have it too.
And broke it down into bite-sized pieces. Anybody could understand what's going on.
But just because that worked once, you have to really fine-tune the breaking the fourth wall thing. You can't just do it out the gate.
Well, but
like
Vice
that.
Was just a different version of that. It wasn't as Big Short had a lot more to explain. Vice had to
hold back a little bit.
Well, but Vice
CIA.
No, Vice just let you see the facts.
No, they did.
Because it didn't have to explain a lot. It just explained sort of the relationships between people, but it didn't have to explain like who the president is and what a vice president
is.
Like, Big Short had to explain all
there's
bunch
so
of
much
stuff.
There's so much exposition in Bombshell like that.
Right.
Where it's like, I'm Megyn Kelly. Welcome to the Fox News. It's like, all right.
Well, but my problem with Bombshell intrinsically, even though I didn't see it again, was that it's still Fox News. Like, it's still people that are unsavory no matter what. You're trying to make these people into heroes when none of them
deserve it.
Megyn Kelly chose to work at Fox News. She didn't have to work there. She chose to sell those lies. She didn't have to do that. She chose to be there. She chose to work for a guy like Roger Ailes. Roger Ailes is not, you know, you don't go into going, oh, it's all going to be cookies and sunshine. You go into there going, this guy's a cutthroat motherfucker. Like,
He didn't even look cutthroat in the movie. Like, they don't
Well, no, John Lithgow's way too gentle looking to, like, be...
Like, dude, like... Russell Crowe... I don't like Russell Crowe any more than anyone else, but, like...
He was a better Roger Ailes.
He was a better Roger Ailes.
He like, got that. Up. He had that down. And, yeah, pound.
Like, what the fuck? I would have watched the rest, but I just didn't have time. I only watched a couple of episodes.
But you asked about hair and makeup in that movie, and I think that Bombshell nailed it. I think they got everybody right. John Lithgow's hard to do, but they did everything right.
Yeah.
Joker didn't have much to it. I mean, he wore
that's the thing.
Makeup.
That's people are saying that. When I'm like, what? I didn't even think about that because like it's not really based on.
There's
the
nothing really going on in there. Yeah,
And it's very poor makeup. Honestly,
I know there's
but
other.
It's for
I know
a reason.
I know there's other ones in there too that I thought stood a better chance.
Okay, let me see.
I mean,
Judy.
That's
Maleficent.
See, and Judy. I mean, come on, Renee Zellweger.
Maleficent though.
Maleficent's a costume. It's a thing.
She has makeup on her face.
Yeah, I know. But Judy, I mean, really, Renee Zellweger really. Yeah. Did the transformation?
I did
in there.
Not.
And that was. Remember, she got that plastic surgery like years ago. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
It was for this. Did you know that? It was for this, and she was preparing to become Judy Garland. And it's like,
what the fuck?
That's what I'm saying. There's commitment there. It's real.
That's like, some Joaquin shit right there.
And she looks like Judy Garland. Like she really does.
I guess it worked out for her.
Well, it didn't. No one saw the fucking movie, but.
Well, this got nominated though.
Judy did not get nominated.
Yeah.
For Best Picture?
Not Best Picture, but she got nominated.
Again,
but she was looking for one for her.
And she did it, you know.
And she got it up.
And she just, if you watch her.
And she won the fucking SAG Award for some reason.
Well, because that performance is transformative. And I see, but
physically, yes.
She sells it. She has the voice. She has the affectation.
It just feels so overdone.
But that's Judy Garland was overdone. I mean, that's
no. I feel like
her,
she overdid it.
But she, if you watch it,
and then the
Judy,
singing was just weird.
But that's what she sounded like. Like she
no,
nailed,
she didn't. I heard her.
She nailed all that. I mean,
listened
she did a
to
good
the
job.
Actual performance.
She did a good job on that. But yeah.
Then there's like Pain and Glory got nominated for a couple of things. People
never,
were surprised.
Million,
about
I would never
that.
In a million years.
Like
that.
Antonio Banderas got nominated for Best Actor. Pain and Glory.
But good actor.
Forgot Pain. Oh shit.
What are you talking about?
Dolor. Dolor y Gloria. Dolor y Gloria.
Oh, okay.
See.
Yeah, but I think this is another example
Pedro Almodovar,
right? Of people elevating things in a foreign language that really wouldn't be elevated if they were in English. And I think trying to give some diversity, like a little bit of
Les Miserables? We're just still doing Les Miserables.
What about Les Miserables?
The France is in the nomination for International Feature Film with Les Miserables. I can't believe we did that again. We're
you
just
didn't.
Running out of
France
ideas.
Did.
I mean, we as the community of cinema.
No, Parasite will win that.
Cinema. Anyway, so there's also like Little Women, obviously, like seventh adaptation or some shit.
It's at least.
And then fucking, they're doing Emma. In England.
Oh, no. They're going to raid and rape every female public domain author in the fucking in the fucking world.
Congratulations,
they're
Jane
gonna
Austen.
Dig them up and fuck them again because they really want this
best
diversity
virgin.
Bullshit to
was
work.
Was she a virgin? I don't know. Fucking.
But yeah, you're going to see a lot of Jane Austen, a lot of, you know, Willa Cather, a lot of, Mary Shelley. You're going to see a lot of things coming up now that because they can do that. And I think...
Yeah.
That Little Women was really a poor... Like
but
a
they
poor...
won't do anything with, like, Alice Guy. You'll never see anything with Alice Guy.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know who that is.
Again, it's a pioneer of cinema who did the first narrative feature film.
Then you probably will. Then you probably will. In fact, I bet you'll see...
Well, they did a documentary. They
yeah,
finally
I remember,
brought it
I know you mentioned the documentary.
They finally released
you mentioned
it
all that
in
before,
April
yeah.
last year. But then nobody saw it, so...
No, but
and Sandberg
well, maybe was in it. Maybe Selma Hayek.
And Jodie Foster was in it. Like, all these people were in it, and
you know what they're making
it.
A movie of that I think is interesting?
What?
The guy who invented Hot Cheetos.
Okay, sure.
That, to me...
Why not?
...is a fascinating
You did the McDonald's
story.
One. Let's go ahead and do Cheetos.
They're going to make a Flamin' Hot Cheeto
Are they
going
to compare it to Trump at some point?
No, because he was the guy that made Flamin' Hot Cheetos was a Mexican immigrant who worked at Frito-Lay. And he would make these Cheetos. He would get the Cheetos, and he would put lime and chili in them, and he would give them to his friends. They're like, oh, this is really great.
Of course.
And then he was like, why don't... then some like white guy was like... Well, why don't we sell that? Like, why don't we take your idea? And like, he got money for it. Like, he got
uh-huh.
compensated for it.
Uh-huh.
Why don't we take your idea and just make these Cheetos for everybody? And then white people have something they can enjoy. And now fucking white people love the shit out of Flamin' Hot Cheetos. And he's going to get a movie made out of him.
But, I've never had Eva
Longoria is making that movie for him.
Of course she is. She made John Wick. Did you know that? She produced that shit.
God damn.
I'm going to give her props for that. There you go. Some props for Eva Longoria for giving us John Wick. Thank you very much.
I like movies that are just movies. That's what I've decided this year, because we were... one of my friends was on Facebook today saying, stay away from Ford versus Ferrari. And I was like, but why? Why would you do
that? It's fine.
It's nothing wrong with that movie. It's fine. It's just a movie.
It's really just fine. Yeah. It's not great. It's not
horrible. I think it's great in the aspect that it's just a movie.
Yeah.
It's not about...
It's just, take the parents, whatever,
You just watch a movie. It's funny. It's thrilling.
It's like a regular movie.
The acting's fine. The cars
really,
are cool.
It's not his best, but like he's not really trying that
but
hard.
It's
just what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is.
And I was reading along with the story, like actual story, while I was watching again. Because I always do that. And I was like, oh man, this is pretty interesting.
Yeah. And I'm like, why can't you just tell a fun story? Both the actors were great. I mean, I like how on the interview circuit.
They had a little too much chemistry. I was like, okay, where are we going with this?
Well, but it's funny because Matt Damon. It's not Matt Damon.
It was Matt Damon.
No, I mean somebody else. Somebody else was calling Christian Bale out on the interview circuit.
Oh.
Because one of the interviews was like, wow, must be cool to see Christian Bale like doing a lot of his own stunts and shit. And they're like, and the guy's like, he didn't do shit. He's not driving the car. He didn't step a foot in one moving car.
No way. You could tell.
Yeah, he's like, he didn't drive one car. That's a stunt guy driving all those cars.
That's why, that I should have given more attention to the stunt category for them, because I gave it to Joker eventually, but like it was between those two, because those are real stunts. So I was like giving, props to people who were doing real shit, not like with
a
tennis ball.
What stunt isn't a Joker?
Well, he got hit. Well, he hurt himself. He hurt his leg while he was like kicking the shit out of the dumpster. So he like actually hurt himself.
That's not a stunt, though. It's an idiot. That's
he's
dumb.
An idiot. But but he also had other stunts, and there were other stunts in the film, the cars and everything.
I can't even think of anything.
Him getting hit by the car and everything.
Well, a stuntman did that, but yeah.
Well, again, stuntman. Yeah.
I guess. I suppose. I
mean, all kinds of shit.
One 10-second
like,
scene.
The riots were pretty stunt worthy.
I guess.
It was just like...
I would put it like something like John Wick, or I'd put it in something
if I
like...
If I could go back, I'd probably go Ford for Ferrari, because that's like way more legit.
I mean, there are other...
If it was like Fast and Furious, I'd probably give it to them, because like,
better,
it's a shitload of stunts.
I didn't even know there was a stunt category.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about SAG.
For acting, yeah.
What else was in that SAG category for stunts? Because there's got to be better.
Avengers.
Absolutely. I mean, because in my opinion, Avengers Endgame is the best movie of the year.
I've never
like,
seen
that
it.
That is the best movie.
Is it on yet?
No, it's on Disney Plus.
Damn it. Motherfuckers. I forgot.
It's because to me, like, do you remember when Return of the King won all those awards, right? Every award it was nominated for. And there was a reason for that, because it revolutionized filmmaking for what it was, because they told those guys, here's X amount of bucks, you want to make these movies that everybody says is unfilmable, fine, we'll give you this much money, you've got to make three at a time. And they did it, and they managed to create this huge landmark of cinema in just under 7 years of these three movies that were incredible.
Excuse me.
Accomplishments in like practical filmmaking, and incredible accomplishments in storytelling, and taking this story that nobody thought could be filmed and filming it and making this huge blockbuster. And they didn't really give awards to the first two, but they gave everything to Return of the King, because it was like the end, and they sort of capped everything off. And even if it didn't deserve it, I think it was
better.
Yeah,
they got 11 noms too.
They won 11 awards out of 11 nominations, like for that movie.
Yeah, and people were saying that. Dumb people were saying that could be Joker this time, but I don't.
Well,
think so.
But Joker doesn't do anything to change filmmaking.
It's not gonna.
It sort of revolutionizes modern cinema, because it is kind of the first movie of its kind for about 20 years, 30 years.
Exactly. It's very nostalgic.
So it does. It does awaken something in people. It does bring attention to something. It does do what a film should do.
Yeah.
It makes you talk. And Avengers Endgame is sort of hundreds of people came together to make this movie.
That.
Right, hundreds of people, men, women, gay, straight, all from around the world. You want diversity? There it is. It's right there. You don't have to nominate women or black people or Asians. They're all working on this movie, and not only that, but it's a cap of a 10-year movie arc. It's a cap of a 10-year character arc for all these people. It's an accomplishment, And people don't, people because of Martin Scorsese and his bullshit, shit on it because it's comic book heroes, big fucking deal. Who cares?
Robert Downey Jr. wouldn't be as big a deal now if it weren't for Iron Man.
Robert Downey Jr.
He'd be like hanging out on TV somewhere.
Well, and then he follows it up with Doolittle, but he now is taking a shit on those movies because he's trying to distance himself from it to try to find another career. But you know, to be honest with you, he's not the great actor. He's got a pretty hard limit to what he can do.
I mean, his best was Tropic Thunder. Everybody knows that.
Tropic Thunder and Chaplin.
Yeah. I was just thinking Chaplin.
Well, because those are the only two movies Well, Back to School is pretty funny too, but you know, what's the one where he was in the minimalist one that he did with was it Nicole Kidman? No. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, right? He was in that.
Oh fuck yeah.
Shane Black,
yes.
But he still has a very limited, he has a hard limit to what he can accomplish as an actor. And he's not, his range ain't that great, but it is great in what it is. So he's got a good concentration. He's got a Johnny Depp-ish roles. He plays them really well. You know, he probably is the thinking man's Johnny Depp, for example. Like, he can play pretty much meld into any role and play more cerebral version of like Edward Scissorhands or something. You know, like you could interchange those two actors there and have the same performance come out.
Well, let's get to film editing.
Well, why are we talking about the big categories? I don't care about who cares about film editing. Like, who cares? No one cares.
What would you think it would be? Ford versus Ferrari.
Well, name the movies. Name the movies, I'll tell you.
Ford versus Ferrari. The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, and Parasite. It would be.
1970 is not in there?
No.
Wow, because it was really. Well, I mean, because that's all done in one take, and that's
ridiculous.
That's.
I'm surprised the Irishman is in there because this is like the worst editing of the all time.
The Irishman. I actually had the best. Did I tell you what my favorite scene in The Irishman is? Did I tell you that scene yet?
What?
Okay. My favorite scene in The Irishman. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen this. Now, okay. You really have to have watched it to know this scene. Because if you have seen it, you have to have watched the movie to understand why. To remember the scene that I'm talking about because it's okay. So quick. So there's a scene where these guys are driving in a car through the forest. And they're strangling another guy in the backseat.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So they're strangling the guy, and for no reason, absolutely no reason, there's a shot, okay, an exterior shot of the car driving by. It's literally a second and a half long. The car's driving by, the guy's in the passenger seat, and he's going, That is my favorite scene in The Irishman. Because why?
It was comedic.
Why is it there? I had to stop and go back, and he's like, what the fuck did I just see? And I laughed at it for like 10 minutes.
It felt like it was on purpose.
I think I personally think it's Martin Scorsese's message about editing this movie where he was like, I'm done with this shit. This is me in that passenger seat. I want to make sure that there's a camera set up outside, okay? They have to set a camera up. They have to measure everything. You got to do the light. You got to set everything up. Just the car driving by for 1.5 seconds and the guy in the driver's seat, you see him getting strangled for 1 second. That's Martin Scorsese thinking this is what it's like working in this fucking movie. Or my friend's like, no, that's the editor. Saying like, this is what's like working on this fucking movie. So for any case,
poor Thelma.
It is the weightiest scene in that movie because that to me is how I felt watching that movie too. Where I feel like I'm in a car going nowhere, being strangled to death, and my legacy is just being seen from the outside going, like that.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful scene. But if you want to get The Irishman, okay.
I mean the violence was really interesting because it was very old school. It's like, he's shot, boom, he's gone. We're moving on. Like, it's not a big
deal. Well, then we're moving on to a 15-minute scene of Al Pacino being shitty. Like, he was probably the shittiest Jimmy Hoffa I've ever seen in my life.
Awful.
He was horrible.
Does not deserve any nomination.
Horrible. And I don't think it was his fault either. I think it was the editing in that case, where they could edit his scenes to make it work better. Yeah. And instead, they tried to include as much as they could in there.
They needed better editing.
They needed to cut off about... I looked at it and I thought...
20 minutes.
Easily.
20 or 30
easily
minutes.
Easily 30 minutes off that movie.
Yeah.
There's no problem. You could have cut
three hours. That's all you needed.
You could have cut the whole JFK subplot out.
Exactly.
You could have cut the whole thing with a silent daughter out
of what there. Was the JFK... You're not even going to mention Stanley Korshak, but okay, like family friend of JFK.
Because JFK,
they don't ever mention the people.
JFK was a better JFK movie.
Yeah.
Hoffa was a better Hoffa movie.
Yeah.
Godfather 2 was a better Cuba movie.
I haven't seen Hoffa.
Hoffa's really good.
I saw JFK at school. Straight
up. I watched it at school too.
Like, what's with our schools?
I don't know.
They're conspiracy theories.
Well, I think we were watching it because there was a reason we were watching it. I don't remember. Because of Oliver Stone or something.
We were talking about JFK, I guess.
But and Godfather 2 was a better Cuba movie. So it's like that. There's a bunch of different movies in that movie that have better antecedents.
Oh, this is copying Goodfellas.
Goodfellas, actually, there are two big scenes in that rip off Goodfellas hardcore. The scene where the guy goes down and beats the guy up in the store. Like, that's the same thing as they go in and beat the postman up in the pizza place in Goodfellas. And then there's a scene that I can't remember what it is now. But it's very reminiscent. It's the same thing, I think. It's the same scene where in Goodfellas where Henry goes and beats the guy up with a gun. Like, hits the rich kid in the driveway with the... Beats him up with a pistol.
Oh, finally got to a decent category.
Oh, what's a decent category?
Directing. Directing. Oh, Irishman, Martin Scorsese. Joker, Todd Phillips, not going to happen. 1917, Sam Mendes. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Quentin Tarantino and Parasite, Bong Joon-ho. A lot of people predict that it would be between Sam Mendes and Bong Joon-ho for this. They don't really see Todd Phillips coming out against Martin Scorsese, seeing that he did something very similar to what he did.
Well, he basically took his job.
Yeah. That's a nice one.
Now, okay, so let's start from the top. What was the first one again?
Martin Scorsese.
Okay, so Martin Scorsese.
Not going to happen, honey.
Well, again, politically, it's the bold choice because it is making a statement against these big tentpole movies. It's making a statement against the ageism in Hollywood. It's making a statement for Martin Scorsese. He really has gotten very little love as far as Oscars go over his career. Like, he's gotten a couple, not for the movies he should have gotten for. There's a good case.
Although I did like Aviator more than I liked The Irishman.
Aviator's a good movie. It was a good movie because it was interesting and something
good ending too. Fun.
Yeah,
fun
I think
ending.
a lot of people didn't know about. I think that was makes it interesting. And it was one episode in history rather than the weird Forrest Gumpism of Irishman, where it's all these different things.
I know.
Like, Aviator searched
for
one.
And story. Then we gotta go to the epilogue, and it's like, we don't need an epilogue. We can just read about this.
No, it just went on.
Like, why?
Okay, so there's so Martin Scorsese, good chance. Maybe. That's a good.
He could.
Okay, so the next one was what?
Joker, Todd Phillips.
So Joker. So what? Noel. Let's just say how it could happen. So okay. So
how could it happen?
Well, it could happen because
everybody hates him
because Joker's been a phenomena, and it has really sort of opened the door up for comic book movies to be legitimized, which is not the one I hope it would be. Logan was sort of more of that, I think, but. Joker has really sort of changed the game as far as these movies go. Plus, he did take up the mantle of Martin Scorsese and pound out a pretty good movie as far as critics go and as far as the public goes. I thought Joker was going to be a fucking bomb. I was on this pedestal being,
dude, this
movie's going to bomb. No one's going to see it. The comic book people are going to abandon it.
I had no interest.
100% wrong on that. 100% wrong.
I had no interest. I straight up went in with no interest.
Me either. I didn't care. I didn't.
I was like, I guess I'll go watch it with Steven. He saw it. I'll watch it with him.
And I went to see it because it's a comic book movie and I see all those movies. And I was on my pedestal 100% saying this movie's going to bomb. And it didn't. It was completely opposite of what I thought it was going to be. I mean, what I thought was going to happen.
It stays with me. So like when I saw it, I was like, okay, that was good. And then a few days later, I'm like, how about another joke, Murray?
But so Todd Phillips did create him. Okay, look this up for me because I keep forgetting. What was the movie he just did previous to this?
It's War Dogs. I remember.
There was
that.
Another one before that. He did another series. Oh, wait, War Dogs. That was the one with Jonah Hill, right?
Yes.
Okay, no, that's what I'm thinking of then.
Yes. That was his first foray into dramatic cinema.
Well, but it was still sort of a satire.
It was.
But it wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad movie.
He was trying to do his best Adam McKay.
Right, and it wasn't bad. It was pretty good. And this movie, I think, he could win because it is creating a conversation and it is creating a new diversion in film. So it has contributed something to the world of filmmaking, even if I don't feel it is the best movie of the year. He as a director may have pulled something out of the hat here that could give him a little bit of credit. So it's possible. Well, what was the next one?
The Sam Mendes one.
Okay, now that... Okay, so again, the same token.
They gave both Sam Mendes and Bong Joon-ho an award at the Critics' Choice Awards just to fuck with everybody. Like, just don't make a decision. Just
well, because I go think with both. That.
What if they do a tie this time?
They
on the they wouldn't do it on the Oscars, would they?
They won't. They won't because there's going to be a clear winner here.
Yeah. There's always a clear
winner. I think there just is because I think that
have they? I think I can't remember if they've
never
done
had a
tie
director.
Not for director.
Best picture.
But maybe for
no,
actors.
No, no. One of the actors had a tie. I don't know what it was.
Maybe actors, yeah.
I think it was a supporting role.
I feel like it's a supporting female
yeah,
or some
I think
shit.
So, Sam Mendes. So, 1917. I wish you'd seen it. I mean, I don't know if you would. I don't know if it's your type of movie. But
that's the thing, yeah.
But
people
is,
did compare it to Atonement. I did like Atonement. So, I don't know.
I guess. I mean, okay. So, 1917 isn't great. Acting wise, there's not a lot of acting going on in there. No, there is
hear
a lot
anything
of,
about
there's
the
a lot
acting.
Of reacting going on, but it's mainly about the fact that they shot in one take.
I know,
right?
That's
and
the gimmick.
So that's the gimmick.
That's the artist gimmick
and
of
it's
the year.
It's done really well.
Yes.
And it's the movie is definitely evocative. Like, you definitely feel something watching it, and when you're done, you do feel like you just watched something. Like, you feel like something happened after you finished watching it. Because it is exhausting to see it because of the way that it is. The acting, such as it is really good in that movie because it is a lot of reacting to
what's, I do like George MacKay.
What's happening in the movie. There's an interplay. There's two characters that sort of interplay and they have great chemistry.
That's one of the actors, by the way.
Right. And the locations, the way that these locations of World War I, which is, again, is kind of an untouched subject for cinema overall.
Yeah, they usually stick with the sequel.
Right, yeah. Or they tell stories that are very personal in World War I. They don't really tell a lot of these vast, epic stories that take place in World War I. Like this one. This is probably the first movie that I've seen in modern times that's done that. All Quiet on the Western Front sort of did that too back in the day. But this is sort of a new version of that. And
would the only way I would watch this is if it had something to say about war in a
well, every war
way.
Movie, every war movie has something to say about war.
No, something bad.
Well, I mean, no, that's what I'm saying. I don't think there's any movies that have anything
like
good
that.
About
it's
that.
A racket, basically.
Well,
like if they made
well,
a movie about Smedley Butler, I'd be in there.
But that's not.
But if it's not, I don't think so.
That's not the point of this.
Because it's
movie.
Propaganda.
This movie is
at
not
that point.
About that. This movie is not about the soldier necessarily. It's about because World War I, people don't realize. Just how terrifying that war was, right? And how brutal it was. You know, I was just listening to a podcast, which is a great podcast called Hardcore History. It's about
better
World War
One.
Well, it's about World War One, and it puts you on a ground level view of that, and it tells you a lot about sort of the opening months of the war and how that worked, and how 75,000 people a day were dying in that war. 75,000 people a day, okay, dying in that war in the initial stages of it. People were just going and just dying. You know, there's a very famous movie called Gallipoli. If you've seen that movie, you know that story. And that's a story about the Australian military, the British military, fighting against the Turkish military. And the Turkish military has machine guns. And no one has ever had a machine gun before in war. No one's ever had that weapon. So the British don't know how to deal with it. So all they can do is just throw people at it until they get to the line. So they're throwing hundreds of British soldiers at these machine guns, just hoping to overwhelm the Turkish with numbers so they can get to the guns and take them down. They have no way of stopping them. So they just keep running at them, throwing thousands of people at them a day, and they just keep getting mowed down until finally they do end up getting to the line and stopping the guns. But after what? After losing all those people. That was the status of war back then. So in 1917, you see the aftermath of all of that. Because he's moving through territory, you know the story, right? So he's trying to get
there's a message.
He's trying to get
a message
to this commander to stop this operation they're going to do because it's a trap, and so he has to get there to stop them. Or 1600 men, really in the scope of World War I, but a drop in the bucket. But 1600 men is still 1600 men. Plus the guy's brother's in there, so that's sort of the impetus they give him to go and do it. And he gets to choose one guy, and they go together. So there's Frodo and Samit up to, the Mordor of this place to drop off this message for this guy and stop this fight. So they're moving through the German lines and territory that's already been sort of moved through, and they're moving towards the front. So as they're moving through these locations, they're bombed out, they're burned down, they're desolated, they're isolated, they're just it looks like a post-apocalyptic landscape. And I think that's the first time I've ever seen a war movie sort of capture that desolation that's left behind after war moves through. And that's why I think Sam Mendes is going, it has a really good chance of winning this because he made that happen. But I wonder how much more credit goes to his cinematographer and to his editors than to Sam Mendes. So we'll see. He did make a good movie.
Well, after that is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Now, see, as much as I like that movie, and if Avengers Endgame didn't exist, that would be my favorite movie of the year. But I don't think it's because of the direction necessarily. And I don't think that he's directed better movies, but the movie itself is just set apart. Because I think it's more about the actors in that movie.
It's definitely the showcase for the acting. I feel like the same thing that I felt about like Three Billboards and whatever the fuck. It was just a showcase for the actors to just
And that movie was kind of caricature-ish. This movie, I don't feel, had a lot of caricature in it. It had a lot of sketching out, like for like the, you know, when they have the scene at the Playboy Mansion.
I will say I enjoyed Once Upon a Time in Hollywood more than I enjoyed Three Billboards. I will say that.
Well, it's
I'll give you that.
It's a better movie, and that's
it is a better movie.
That's also
it's not
unfair.
Saying a lot.
That's unfair to say that because Three Billboards is not.
No offense, I just did not enjoy that film.
Well, is a movie. That's not made by somebody who makes movies in that way. You know, Quentin Tarantino makes movies for people that go to movies to enjoy. Like, that's what he bends and twists the rules of cinema so you go and you get a new experience when you watch a movie.
Oh,
like
my
this.
Gosh. When Lena Dunham came on the screen.
I didn't recognize her. You know, honestly, I didn't recognize her.
That was so bad.
I know, but she's on there for like 3 seconds. So you know,
it just took you right
out. Because that whole scene is about,
about
the other girl. The girl that's in the house. What the hell is her name? She plays Squeaky Fromm, but I remember the actress's name. Not Dakota Fanning. Not Elle Fanning.
No.
What the hell was her name? Anyway, the girl that's in that scene. It's her scene. It's not really the Dunham scene. But and it's also Margaret Qualley's scene.
I thought Dakota played Squeaky.
Maybe it was her, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Another Georgia girl.
Yeah. But it's really her. It's not Lena Dunham's scene. It's her scene. And it's,
thank goodness.
And it's Margaret Qualley's scene. It's their scene. And, yeah. And it's Brad Pitt and Bruce Dern's scene. So... You know, Lena Dunham sort of fits into that weird, schlubby cult chick thing. Like, she was in AHS Cult, which she worked in, actually worked out pretty well in that
How
show.
How does she, nepotism, I know, but like, wow.
Well, because she has a quality, regardless if I like her or not, she has a quality that works for Once Upon a Time and worked for AHS Cult.
Hey, remember when that guy that she wrote with, like, got Me Too'd by someone and she didn't believe the woman? That was hilarious.
Well, but I don't, that doesn't factor into me. Like,
no, I'm just saying in general. Like,
she, I, anybody,
another that, hypocrite.
I'm okay with people who don't buy into the Me Too thing because it's sort of,
well, she was a hypocrite on that.
Well, she also like molested her sister, but you know,
I mean, that's the ultimate hypocrite.
She, but I
pedophilia is fine.
Pedophilia, well, incest, right?
Well, like incest,
incestophilia,
and yeah.
Lena Dunham...
And writing about it.
Well,
making
know, my,
money off
to
it.
Me, the greatest sin she committed was that she went on the book tour. You remember when she went on the book tour?
No.
And she hired these local people to be talent for her. So she had like these big sort of circus-like book signings. And she invited local comedians and musicians to come down and like play before her book signing, right? Which is great because it's awesome to like throw back and be like, hey, come... But she didn't pay them. And she didn't offer them any compensation. She was like, hey, just come down and play my book signing. And they're like, well, how about some money? They're like, she's like, how about no? And that, to me, was the worst thing she could have done. Because as a performer, especially someone like her, who kind of came up, you know, she didn't just sort of get handed something. She, as a schlubby girl, she had to work up, you know, and work up to be in this business. She couldn't just have it come to her. She wasn't a hot
I mean, she
kid.
Does have a really well-to-do parent.
Well, but that doesn't mean you're going to be successful in movies. It just means that you might have a foot in the door, but you're not going to necessarily be successful. You still have to work. Somebody like that.
She still wrote her own
Let's just
thing.
Say a fat
yeah.
girl who's not beautiful has to work 3,000 times harder.
Wrote her own movie and
to get it right.
It.
So I give yeah. her that credit. But when you do something like that and then don't offer to pay your local talent when they come in and work your show, that's fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me that you're an asshole.
Yes.
And
she
now
is
eventually
an asshole.
She got shamed into paying them, and she did. And I feel like she sort of did her penance. In the press and came through it. So I'm willing to give her a shot if she's kind of come back and do
they
kind
went
of
after her a lot harder when and, she like had that dog situation. Like, you don't know this person like that. Like,
yeah,
to get in their personal business with their pets is just kind of
well.
Weird
then
to
you know,
me.
And then what's her face too had the same dog thing.
Yeah, like I don't care about your dogs.
Who was that woman that did that? Well, I keep thinking Elle Fanning because now your name and Elle Fanning. The girl from the TV, the fucking what? Ellen DeGeneres. Okay, Ellen DeGeneres.
Ew.
Who took the dog in and then gave it away
yeah.
and was like, oh my God. And then she got another dog and she's like, now she's promoting pet food. I'm like, dude, you just sent a dog back to whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we're talking about Once Upon a Time and directing. And I think Quentin Tarantino always has a chance because he's Quentin Tarantino.
Ugh.
But I think he's up against, I think he didn't make this movie to be an award winning movie. I think he made this movie because he needed to make it.
Yeah, to make himself feel good about supporting Polanski and what
I don't
happened.
Think there's any support for Polanski in that movie.
No, he did. No, if you listen to the Howard Stern interview that he did back in the
well,
day.
But a lot of people support Polanski. Like, I'm not going to just lump
him in. Yeah, I'm not lumping him in. I'm just saying, like, this would make him feel better about that position.
I guess, even though Polanski's hardly in it, and he's kind of made to look like an asshole, but, you know, he's kind of made to look like a cuckold,
they
basically.
Still make the thing that happened that turned him into this pedophile, because you can just
but
turn
it's, but it's
into
not about
pedophile.
The movie's not about Polanski. The movie's about Sharon Tate, if anything.
It's and not even about her. Really.
No, it's not. But if you're going to choose them,
but yeah,
it's
but
not
I'm
really
saying
about, it's really
like,
not really about him.
That's ultimately what it does is kind of, you know, take.
But isn't it also a metaphor for be careful what you ask for? Because if Rick Dalton in the movie had gotten involved with Roman Polanski the way he wanted to,
mm-hmm.
then he would have been tainted by what Polanski was going to do just a few years later. So it's a good thing he didn't get involved with him. Even though he gets involved with Sharon Tate at the end, there's no guarantee that Sharon Tate is going to stay with Polanski. Because if you remember, in that world of that movie, because when that the Playboy Mansion, Steve McQueen looked...
I don't
McQueen.
Think in real life that there was a whole
no,
lot
because,
of chance.
No, because Steve McQueen, like the scene with Steve McQueen and Michelle Phillips at the Playboy Mansion, Michelle Phillips just lays it out. She's like, because J.C. Brings there waiting to move in on Roman Polanski, right? Because he explains what their relationship is, and like they're all still together now, right? The threesome are all still together. And obviously Sharon and Jay still have a relationship going on because in the movie, Sharon is getting fully undressed in front of Jay. She doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
She's almost fully naked, pregnant in front of him. She's spending time with him in the bedroom. They're sleeping in the same bed. It doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
So Polanski, in effect, doesn't... He's getting cuckolded in that movie.
Yeah.
He's made to look like an asshole.
It's a cuck.
And I think... Yeah, he's a cuck. And I think that's Tarantino's answer to that Howard Stern thing is that, well, let's just show how this actually works out. And Rick Dalton reveres Roman Polanski. He's like, I could be in a Polanski movie. I could be in the next Rosemary's Baby. I could be in all these movies. He doesn't even
What's
realize...
What's the other guy's name? I can't remember. This stunt guy.
Cliff.
Cliff. Yeah.
Yeah, Cliff. And I think Brad Pitt's going to win that supporting actor.
Oh,
He's so great in that movie.
He's going to win.
Everything about
Even though that horrible scene at the end just was...
Oh, but that's the whole point,
ridiculous.
Right? Because he's... That's all he knows. Like, he gets to fulfill his role as Rick's protector. And that's sort of where it comes in is like, you know, because he, Tarantino based their relationship on Burt Reynolds and Hal Needham, who were another actor, stunt man duo in the 70s. Because remember, Burt Reynolds.
I was trying
Burt
to figure
Reynolds,
out who they were trying to be.
Burt Reynolds was supposed to be in this movie. He was supposed to be Bruce Dern's part, but he died.
Well, obviously.
So he didn't make it.
Yeah.
So Bruce Dern.
That'll put a damper on things.
But, you know, and obviously Brad Pitt is playing Robert Redford. And Robert Redford, like, as an actor, this is like he did in Moneyball. Like, Moneyball is the best Robert Redford performance that's not playing Robert Redford. Like, Brad Pitt nails Robert Redford in a million years. He hits that mark. And so I think that you would see Paul Newman and Robert Redford in these Once Upon a Time roles if this movie were made in the 70s. They would be them. And now it's DiCaprio and Brad Pitt. And both of them are taking lots of chances playing these parts because Brad Pitt's character is not a hero. He's a man. Like, we're talking about how these people are just people, and that's what they do.
Yeah.
You know, because in the world of this movie, Brad Pitt is a World War II Special Forces veteran, and he is a killer, and he's been trained to be a killer. And when he came back, this is how Quentin Tarantino explains anyway,
mm-hmm.
when he came back to America, he couldn't really find the joy in living life anymore because he had all these things, so he became a stuntman. And it was just because so he could live that death wish every day. And then he found Rick, who took care of him. And he just found this manly relationship with these two guys that was like, he found somebody to take care of him, he could take care of. You know, Rick is is manic depressive, which is his problem, is that he has a manic depressive disorder. So he's constantly up and down, constantly up and down. And I think that Cliff finds comfort in that, because Cliff is very stable. Even though he's a mental instability, he is very stable when it comes to DiCaprio.
Give me shades of like his character, Tyler Durden, in like
in
Fight Club a little bit.
And it is a little bit like that, except that he's not so self-absorbed.
Yeah.
Cliff does have a little bit of empathy for people around him. He does care about Rick. Generally care
about
him.
And that kitten, the dog.
And he loves his dog, right? He loves
pets. That dog.
And I think that's where we get to see that even though Cliff isn't a hero, he doesn't act in heroic ways, he is a good guy. He's just a good guy who got into a bad circumstance. So he went through Rory's PTSD, his problems. But the way that he cares for his pet, even though he's a little bit rough with her pet, with the pet, like when he talks to her, like, don't whine, or you don't get fed, right? He still is, you know, they always tell you to know somebody about how they treat animals. And he loves his dog. And he loves Rick, who's another pet of his, right? And you know, so that's when that's why I love
that
movie.
It just reminded me of Putin and his dog.
Oh.
He loves his dog.
Hitler loved his dog, too.
There's some people. That doesn't always apply.
Well, but again, you can take anything. Like even if I want to argue for Hitler,
yeah,
Hitler didn't really kill.
Oh,
any,
yeah.
Hitler didn't really kill any Jews.
Yeah,
he sort of said, "You guys take care of this," and that's what they did.
Yeah,
he blamed the Jews for a lot of stuff. He instigated a lot of things, and then somebody else took that out.
Then we also can't forget the role of the American industrialists who were funding him for all.
Well,
this
sure, because
of time
they were well, they
beforehand.
I didn't think they even knew really. What he
no,
did.
No. Prescott Bush knew. He didn't know exactly what was going on, but
right.
It's ended
well,
up benefiting them greatly, and they got the gold.
Because what you're going to do as an American industrialist in World War II,
or they got the business from the railroad.
Right. Well, you're gonna back the winners.
And then the IBM.
Right.
Got
and you're gonna see Germany
piece,
moving against
Coca-Cola.
Poland. You're gonna see Germany moving against Europe and saying, well, these guys have it together. You know, I'm talking to these guys over there, and they got it together. We're gonna back these guys, because the Americans weren't involved in that. It was Europe's problem. It wasn't our problem.
Well, before he became what he became, he was given support monetarily.
No,
by,
absolutely.
By great grandfather.
Right, but there's but
Bush.
There's but that's you can't pin that. You can't say, well, they supported Nazis, because the Nazis weren't the Nazis at that point.
They supported Hitler. That's why.
Right. Well, Hitler
we make that
also
distinction.
Wasn't the Jew killer at that point.
I know we make that distinction.
Right,
we say
just,
Hitler.
Right. He was just the winner. He
oh,
was
Adolf.
He
Hitler.
Was the foreseen winner in era. He was a new economic power. We want.
It's
to get
not
involved with that.
More different than like the Mujahideen and everything. Like,
no.
And the Taliban.
Right.
Like it's very similar.
Right.
It's like
now if
war profiteering
if
has always
that,
been.
If we found
a
out
thing.
That Hitler was murdering Jews. And still continue to support his war effort, then we have an issue.
I think that did kind of happen.
And it did with Henry Ford, still kind of
and
supported
then also
that.
Coca-Cola with the Fanta
right.
drink and everything.
And I would say, but Coca-Cola's an international company, so I mean, it's an American company. But it, like, if we found out, you know, if we continue to support Saddam Hussein, for example, instead of ousting him the way we did and tearing his head off, you know, if we continue to support
extrajudicially,
yeah, we would be in trouble. And I think we sort of skirt that line with Israel right now, because Israel is a totalitarian.
We're directing.
I know, but we're getting there. But Israel is a totalitarian.
Oh, here we go.
fascist force, and they're quickly turning
yes.
into a destructive force in the Middle East, and we're still backing them.
I think that was the plan.
You know, that's well, but was it? I think the plan was for them to preserve democracy in the Middle East.
There
preserve,
is no democracy anywhere.
Well, but there is there. And to preserve...
There is, like,
and to preserve
a semblance
our,
of
And
it.
To preserve our interest in the Middle East against Saudi Arabia and the other Arabian nations when they weren't really a force, and now they are. But Israel has overstepped its boundaries a little bit. And I think that we need to slap them
more
back
a little
to make sure that they don't turn into what they have fought against. Because I don't think Israel has always been a negative force there. I think they turn into one.
I don't think that any of those countries have always been a negative force. They just... become overtaken by certain personalities and puppets.
Well, religion.
Yeah.
Right. Iran got taken over by religion.
Religious
Iraq
puppets.
Got taken over by fake religion, and you know Iraq right now are in the midst of going either way.
And you have the Shias and the Shiites and everything.
Well, that's always going to be there, but they're not in charge. I mean, it's sort of the ruling class of
and
Iraq.
The Houthis.
You know, is the military, rebels. Is it going to be a secular government? Is it going to be a Muslim government? You know, is Afghanistan going to have any government?
How about
at
no
all?
Theocracy? No, we can't do that.
No,
crazy.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, that's we're fighting against 3,000 years of shit there, so it's going to take a second to change minds. But in the other case, Tarantino probably won't win that category. Right.
We can't not talk about Tarantino and Nazis at the same time.
he could, because again, like I said, people like to vote for him, and
I mean, you know,
but I don't think he's going. He didn't really lobby that hard this time, and I don't think he was out looking for awards. So,
and I think it's partly because of the Weinstein thing and the woke crowd. No, because of the woke crowd is all I'm saying.
Well, it has nothing to do with Weinstein because the movie's actually funded by Sony. And
no, I know, but like the people will be burnt by the like. All of this stuff.
I don't think that's true, but
I think there's consideration of that. Okay. Anyway, Parasite, Bong Joon-ho. I want him to win.
I don't see how the directing is better than any of that other stuff.
I just think that's so amazing that they like built that place from scratch according to his specifications.
James Cameron built the fucking Titanic.
I know, that was amazing too.
Tarantino built.
I gave him all the credit in the world for that, by the way. And he was the king of the world for that.
And Tarantino rebuilt Hollywood, so I don't know if that's any better than building a house, building a whole city. But
they also went to 70 different locations for one sequence that they didn't use all of those locations for, but they made a photo book, which is really cool. So they were able to.
So you wanted him to get a directing nomination. For something that's not even in the movie.
I didn't say that.
You just did.
I'm just saying one thing that happened production design-wise, which
okay,
is
so
not even the category that I'm talking about.
Designer
but let me go back to the category. So directing, obviously the acting is above what you would expect in any film.
Is it?
And I think that they did all a great job, and they all had to play certain kinds of moods and stuff.
But isn't that what every acting is about? Isn't every actor play something different than what they are?
But they are actually being different people and they're improvising.
But isn't that what acting is?
No, because they have
how does it transcend?
And they have a good chemistry together as a family and you can believe them. And there's this one scene, if you recall, of them in the gym after a certain thing happens. And I didn't notice until I was in the theater watching it, but Q actually starts crying at one point and is very emotional, and I really liked that he was holding the stone at the time and that I could really feel what he was feeling. And then his dad was talking about something that ended up being very important later. There's a lot of foreshadowing as well. There's a lot of script stuff in there that you have to like catch.
Yeah, no,
to,
I watched it.
To figure
I
out
what's
going to happen next.
It.
So he says, like, even if you kill somebody, it doesn't fucking matter, basically. Like, nothing matters.
Did
basically.
It have to be 2 hours and 14 minutes long?
Yes.
No, it didn't. It had to be about 90 minutes long.
Yes, it did, because it had to have the whole sequence of them infiltrating the family, which is the main issue in the film.
I don't know. I just didn't get it.
I just think everything worked out. I'll have to read the screenplay to see how I feel about that.
Well, you have to read in Korean because in English it wouldn't make any sense.
No, in English it will make sense.
No, I'm telling you right now, if that movie was filmed in English, no one would care.
Yeah, they would. It has been. There have been several films like that, including Servant. I will look that up.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think it's the PC choice.
I disagree.
I don't think it has anything to do with wokeness.
That
no, it absolutely
like
does
it.
Because I don't think again. If there wasn't such a outcry for Asian representation,
there isn't though. Like they
but
didn't even
was.
Nominate The Farewell.
No, and you know, but that sucks because that looked like a really good movie. That looked like a really. I actually wanted to see that movie. I don't know why I didn't watch it, but it looked like a really good movie. And I don't understand why.
Awkwafina is a force to be reckoned with.
I think that the premise of that movie is devastating. First of all, and. I don't know, the trailers look really good. I'm definitely going to watch it on streamer. Anyway, I don't know. I think overrated, but I'm and I don't see what it contributes to film, but it's
I do, because it just looks so amazing. And it's just shot so beautifully. And there's so much detail to the script, to the acting performances.
Oh, that you didn't read the script.
To the script, the dialogue. Gosh, what the heck. And then, obviously, the production design is top-notch. There's so little in the way of, like, flaws that I could mention. Like,
except that it's
maybe
boring.
Two.
Except it's long as
fuck. It's not boring to a lot of people. A lot of people enjoyed it. It was raucous. It was fun.
I think it's the man eating chicken.
I don't know what that means.
In the old carnival days.
Oh, great.
They would advertise, the carnies would advertise the man eating chicken. Pay 10 cents to see the man eating chicken. So what would you think if someone told you that? You would think, I'm going to go and see this fucking chicken eating man, right? Like, I'm going to see this fucking crazy chicken. You go in, you pay 10 cents, the lights go down, the curtain comes up, and there is a man, a human being, a man, a male person, eating some chicken. So then the people go, oh my God, you just ripped me off. That's not a man eating chicken. They're like, no, it's exactly what it is. It's a man eating chicken. Now, why don't you go tell your friends that you saw the man eating chicken and then laugh at them when they come out of here telling what they saw, right? So everybody goes in, doesn't tell their friends it's a man eating chicken. They go in to watch their friends get fooled. And everybody gets caught up in this thing, but they don't want to admit that what they saw was a sham because everybody else is saying how great this shit is.
That's not true for this particular film because I would not
look. I went to see this movie not knowing anything about what it was about. Okay,
neither
zero.
Did I.
Zero.
Except like the main.
Okay, you know, I didn't know the main IMDb either. Okay, I thought this guy made a movie about The Host, right? Which is the last movie that I saw.
Snowpiercer, he also made.
And Snowpiercer, which are genre movies.
But he came up with this during Snowpiercer.
Right.
After Snowpiercer.
So, which are excellent movies. I like both of those movies. Snowpiercer is a really kind of wacky tale, right? About his train and a weird thing. Kind of sci-fi-ish a little bit. The Host is about a monster. It's about a movie. So I thought, okay, Parasite. This is going to be another Korean
so
horror movie about a parasite. Right?
So did I.
Or some kind of worm or something. Like
it was so...
So I go and I said, no, I can expect this. So I go to watch. I'm like, wait a minute. This isn't a horror movie. It's not even scary. It's not even...
It's not.
Okay, so I had to put that aside first. Waiting for the scary stuff to happen. Nothing happened. Of course, there was like really excellent violence. There was definitely great violence in that movie. But I watched it. I'm thinking, waiting for something to happen. And so far, I'm predicting everything that happened in the movie. First of all, I'm like, okay, this is going to happen next. The family's going to come early.
I don't think
you know. He's going to get his mom in there. The dad's going to come next.
But you never thought for a second, like, because this is things that,
I did not
that
think
you would think
that people
that would
be living
happen.
In the, I did not people
is
living
that
in the walls.
Maybe they would try to like infiltrate by seducing the wife or something.
No,
didn't think about
no,
that
because
at
they
all.
because
that's such an easy thing to do.
Right? Because once he got his sister in there to be the art therapy person. I thought, okay, now his dad is next. Or his mom is next.
Well, yeah, because they kind of set that up.
They're going to figure out, right? The movie, the show Shameless. That's what that movie is about. So it's about a family of grifters,
it's
gypsies.
From the UK, yeah.
That do this kind of thing. That grift for their family. And then get their family involved and stuff. So there's already that precedent. So I'm like, this is going to be like Shameless. Okay. Now, granted, the twist of the guy living in the basement, okay.
Which you came up with later.
Which I have a huge pet peeve about in the movies like that. Like, I just can't, I don't like it. But that was unexpected. But then what happens after that is not unexpected. So nothing different, nothing in this
but
movie happened.
I don't
happened.
Think it was supposed to be.
I wasn't surprised.
This
by
isn't
anything.
Like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Well, but it
has. It's not like it's like,
right.
Ooh, so, there's a big twist.
But there should be at least be originality. And if I could predict everything that can happen in this movie as I'm watching it, it's not original. I got all this story already.
Well, you're just one person.
Yeah, so there's one of me. There's got to be others, right? So someone else, like I expected this because movie. I saw this movie in a theater in the middle of the afternoon, and it was full. Okay, full of people like me who got duped into this bullshit.
Ugh.
But when it was over, you expect somebody to be like, "Oh, that was cool. It was good." Nothing. Zero. People just got up and just left. I've come like that was fucking boring. And this guy just started laughing at me, and I was like, "Right?" And he's like, "Oh my god!" And I was like, "What were we watching?" What was this? How is this so hyped? This is not great. This is not a great movie. It's good. It's like, it's funny, you know, for what it is. But it's not original and it's not great. It just was like, okay.
Well, we disagree.
I know. A lot of people can disagree with me.
And that rain scene was amazing. And the transition to the from the flood to the mattress floating in the water. I thought that was great. But
good boring.
It was great. It had a lot of great classic moments and stuff. Like, really quotable stuff.
I guess if I spoke Korean, I'd be quoting all the time.
Oh, because this is a Korean film. They should have nominated The Host that year. I thought
The Host was amazing.
When I saw The Host, I was like, "That's the best new movie of 2013, right
there." It was
there.
Really
Fuck off.
Great. It was a movie everybody should see.
Yes.
I'm not sure everybody would like it because it is a monster movie, and I think it's like, it does fall in a genre. And I think that okay, it's not a perfect movie, but it is like definitely a movie that if you like monster movies. And you don't like Train to Busan, right? Another Korean movie.
I haven't watched it yet. I tried to watch it.
It's on fucking
Kyu
Netflix.
Kyu is in it. Wook Chig.
It's on Netflix. Fucking watch it. Why? What's your problem?
Okay.
It's on Netflix.
I know, but I haven't
house.
Yet.
It's
and
in your
I,
home.
Whatever.
You're here all day. Like, watch it.
I haven't yet. I will.
Like, that's a movie where I was like, because I love zombie movies. My favorite kind of horror movie.
That's my thing is like, they don't really... You can't really reinvent the wheel.
But they did.
That's but I'll try. I'll
Train
try. I'll watch it. I'll watch it.
You watch it and you're like...
28 days later.
How can they make a zombie movie that's different than other ones? And they do.
Okay. I'll
that's,
watch
that's
it.
That's why I like Korean horror. Because I don't... That's why I would see this movie with expectations of that. Because I was like, this is going to be a horror movie. And it wasn't even a good movie. Let alone a good horror movie.
That's a lot to say. Like, a lot of people made this movie too. Not like hundreds of
people
made this
but
movie.
And it was okay, and I'm glad that it's successful. I'm not just
lying. And they worked really hard on the set. And
that's
really
that's
hard
fucking
on the,
awesome. That's
the
great.
Storyboards. And
maybe
everything
check,
was planned
maybe
out.
Maybe I'll check out
perfectly.
The American version when they make that.
And then, oh gosh, sense. They're not going to.
Of course they will, because it's going to
well,
make
they're
going to
make the series first, which is based on the movie.
God, it's horrible. They made a series, Shameless.
No, this is a little different.
It's
anyway,
Korean.
And then like there's things that happen on screen that were planned. Like everything is very like technically brilliant in that film. You say that like 1917 is technically
is absolutely technically
this
brilliant.
Is technically brilliant.
If they shot Parasite
without a gimmick,
if they had shot Parasite in one take,
without a gimmick.
I'd be down on it.
No gimmicks for this one. Just
but didn't you just say they built a whole house and they tracked the thing? Is that a gimmick?
No, they had to.
You just laid out a whole bunch of gimmicks.
But they had to make it technically brilliant.
I don't know.
It's not a one
so then I guess pony. Technically it should have won awards, but directing-wise, I don't know.
Anyway, so then there's, like, actress in a supporting role. Kathy Bates somehow got in there. Good for you. You're still
Kathy
around.
Kathy Bates.
Richard Jewell.
I wanted to see that, too. My dad
the
saw that.
Chris? Clint Eastwood film.
Movie, yeah.
The Chris Eastwood film. I'm not editing this, by the way. And then Laura Dern. She's going to win. Whatever.
What's she in again?
Marriage Story.
Didn't see that.
Divorce Lawyer. Hollywood Love.
Who else have got in there?
Scarlett Johansson, Jojo Rabbit.
She might win for that.
Florence Pugh.
Well, she's in twice, right?
Little Women. Yeah, she is.
She's in for that for...
Bombshell Margot Robbie.
Right.
Robbie.
The no, not Margot Robbie. Who's the Charlize Theron is for Bombshell too, right?
Yeah, that's...
Not Charlize Theron. Scarlett Johansson, I mean. What's her other one?
What?
Scarlett Johansson has two awards this year.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
What's the other one?
Marriage Story.
Marriage Story. It's
not her best. I think if I could choose between those two, I'd say Jojo Rabbit was better.
See, Jojo Rabbit is another movie I didn't get. Like,
okay, now we're on the same page. Let's get on the same page.
Right.
So
Jojo
Rabbit. What the hell was the deal with Jojo Rabbit?
I think Jojo Rabbit.
What the hell was the deal with Rebel Wilson?
I didn't mind it. See, I didn't mind the Rebel Wilson parts. I didn't mind the.
It just
didn't I didn't mind the comic parts. I thought the comic parts were really
too much Hitler.
Well, but Hitler's funny. Like,
you overdid the Hitler thing.
Hitler's funny. I don't have a problem with it.
The lines weren't good.
The one thing I have an issue with in Jojo Rabbit. Okay, so...
You have one thing?
So like 10 years, like 12 years ago, there was a movie called Life is Beautiful. Did you see that movie?
I did not, and I
with
feel very
Bernardo
good about
Bertolucci, that.
Bernardo
Bertolucci,
whatever
the fuck his name was. I forget his name was.
Roberto Benigni.
Right, Roberto Benigni.
The chair guy.
Who did the movie actually destroyed his career, but because you never see him again after that? Never. So, so I would say
oh, kind of like the guy... I am the captain now.
Well, he has other problems. Yeah, he can't take the street out of the guy, unfortunately.
Well, no, he works. He just doesn't work
yeah,
very high profile.
He's probably hard to work with.
He's not high profile.
Anyway, so I'm going to see Life is Beautiful. And the movie, this movie is about...
Ew,
it's actually two movies in one. Okay, so it's... The first movie
is
a romantic comedy about a man and a wife in pre-World War II Italy. A Jewish couple... Who meet and fall in love and have a child, and it's this really beautiful sort of love story, okay? And then halfway through the movie, the war happens.
What?
And Hitler moves, and the Nazis move into Italy, and they start taking the Jews away and taking them to the camps. So they take the man and the wife and the kid to this camp.
Oh, so it's a sarcastic Life is Beautiful.
No, well, no.
Okay.
So Life is Beautiful becomes this sort of idyllic, romantic movie into this really, really hardcore. concentration camp drama.
Kind of like Pan's Labyrinth. Like
no.
Okay, nope.
But it, no, because there's no fantasy involved here.
Okay, no fantasy.
Except for the fact, okay, feels so like the main gist of the concentration camp story is that Roberto and his wife get separated and the kid gets separated. So all three of them get separated. The little boy doesn't know what's happened. He's too young to understand like what's happened.
Okay, so this boy is kind of similar to Roman's character.
Roman?
Oh, I know his name.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The child.
From?
Jojo's character.
No.
Okay.
So
I don't know why you were talking
about it. No, let me finish.
It.
Because I'm getting to the point here. So you get to the thing that the dad decides he's going to pretend that they're at a camp and not at a concentration camp, but he's that they're not in no danger. So he tries to do everything he can to get the other people in the camp to create this illusion that they're at like a summer camp. So the little boy's getting scared. And then in the end, the mother and the boy reunite and the father is like viciously killed by a tank. Okay, so
that's fun.
Okay. The movie is viciously, horribly, consciously manipulative. Okay, it's the girl I went to see with, my girlfriend at the time, could not stop crying. Like she could get up. She was like, "Rrr!" She couldn't get up. I was like, "Look what you did." Like it wasn't sad because it was sad. It was sad because it made you feel sad. Like, so okay, so JoJo,
I think I know where you're going now.
So Jojo Rabbit.
All right.
Starts off in a very sort of Wes Anderson-ish way.
Yes.
In a camp with everything's very
Moonrise
uniform.
Moonrise Kingdom.
Right. Very, very, very Moonrise Kingdom. Very uniform.
I love that fat kid. Sorry.
Right?
I love his name too.
I love those parts of it.
He was so cute.
What I don't feel, and I'm going to spoil this movie because I don't give a fuck. So eventually the mother, who is like Scarlett Johansson, who was a very positive force in JoJo's life, the other person understands him. She takes in this Jewish girl that lives in the wall, which I can't stand. I can't stand that thing.
But she keeps
whatever.
That secret because he's...
Because he's a little Nazi.
Yeah.
But he's a kid, right? He doesn't understand...
Nazi youth.
...why he is a Nazi. He just knows this is how he lives. He doesn't understand it.
No.
So they find comedy in that.
Mm-hmm.
And by taking the point of view, and Hitler's his imaginary friend, right? So, and he idealizes Hitler.
And that's
Hitler,
Taika, who directed
right.
it.
And Hitler is really the only father figure that he has, because his father's gone off to fight in the resistance,
yes.
and he's gone. So he doesn't have a father figure. He has another kid he hangs out with that is sort of like...
He has glasses.
Right, he has glasses. He's a fat kid. He's got another...
He's hilarious. He's going places.
Great. He's a little Ricky Gervais. Like, he's so cute.
He's so good.
Then they've got...
he's the best part.
Oh, no, he's a little Nick Frost. That's what he is.
The best part.
Yeah.
I have just decided.
He's
my favorite part of this fucking movie.
The best part. Although Sam Rockwell's character.
He's close, so, yeah.
So and then he has another father figure in Sam Rockwell who plays
yes.
like a German commander. Who is,
he just
who,
doesn't give a shit.
But he because he totally understands that the war is lost. He knows they're going to lose. He knows
yeah.
the Allies are coming to Berlin. He knows they're done. So he's just going through the motions because he is the grown-up version of the little boy, right?
Jojo
Rabbit. So you have these really great scenes of this kid. You have this hyper satire of Nazism seen through a kid's point of view, where it's very comical, of Hitler seen as a comic character. You have these really hyper sort of like satirical scenes going on, which I think are actually really brilliant and they're really funny. Then the mom dies.
Yep.
Okay, so. What
well, before
is,
that, there are like hangings. In
well, but
the, so
they
the
said they
square,
said
you know?
They show her shoes. They set it up right. They set
yeah.
up the mom dying. I don't now. To me,
spoiler
it,
alert.
Well, it, I told you I'm gonna spoil it because I don't give a fuck. To me, it feels like they maybe a studio head, maybe somebody on Taika's
it is
in a little circle.
It's
or
a downturn, man.
Said this movie's too funny.
Yep.
We're laughing too much at the Nazis.
We gotta have a moment.
We gotta have this dramatic moment where something really bad happens to JoJo, besides him getting blown up or besides him getting kicked
like,
out of the army.
I don't know. I haven't read the book, but maybe it happens in the book. Somebody
the
can
book.
Like comment
yeah.
or something.
Well,
hey,
anyway,
comment on this thing.
Regardless, then the book is also flawed if this happens.
Yes.
In the book. Unless in the book it's just done a different way. And this
I'm
was,
sure the book is a lot better.
This, in the movie, it's just meant to add drama. It's not there really to
catharticize
anything. Because he like he has one response to it, which is he goes and he stabs the Jewish girl, right? In the
mm-hmm.
shoulder with his bayonet. And then they're dancing in the street. So it really
it's
has
the weirdest ending.
It really has no impact on the story whatsoever except to make you sad.
Yes.
Except to say, oh, no, the Nazis were bad.
Oh, the character you loved so much? Who's like the most decent
right.
character in this movie?
Right.
She's
and,
dead.
And, oh, by the way, the Nazis are bad. In case you didn't understand this,
yeah.
as much
we
as
don't
we try
like
to make
Nazis.
Everything funny, the Nazis are bad. So, shamelessly manipulative. It reminded me a lot of Life is Beautiful, and not because of the Nazi part, but because it's shamelessly manipulative.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel sad instead of just letting things happen organically.
And did you cry? I didn't cry.
Why would I? Because
yeah.
it made me. It tried
I hate
to
when they
make
do
me
that.
Feel that way. And it didn't even really linger on enough to make me have emotions about it. It was just kind of like, I kind of felt like, oh yeah, she had to die.
Yeah.
I see now that we were set up to see this.
Yeah.
And it was just sort of amateurish and ham-handed. And Taika's a new director. It's okay. Like, it's all right.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he made a 90% good movie is really cool.
Yeah.
And he's a great director. And he does contribute great things to movies and to television.
I haven't seen Thor
done.
Still. I
well,
know
I mean,
that is on...
People,
it was on Netflix.
Well, it's still there, I think. It's there for like another month or so.
I should watch it.
You should. It's not bad. It's funny. It has a good sense. It has a good Australian sense of humor. New Zealand sense of humor, right? It's really...
And he went to Berlin. He was like a part of Germany for a good amount of time. He did study there, so he did a lot of research.
Right. I think this was not the movie he wanted to make.
Yeah.
And or at least the movie he should have made. And so I went to see it, and I remember starting to watch it, thinking, oh, I'm gonna really like this. It's a movie I really should like. In fact, this movie
yeah.
actually made me question my sanity because and
uh-huh.
my mental state. Because I really should have liked it.
I should have too.
And when I got done, I was like, wow, I really didn't like that movie.
Yeah.
And I went with Heather, my roommate, and I went with this couple that we go to see movies with. And they were like, oh my God, that was the greatest movie I've ever seen. Oh my God, like, was it though? Was it? And the guy was like, you just hate everything now. And I'm like,
right.
you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe I hate everything.
Oh.
Maybe I fall into like the Stan Marsh, South Park, everything is shit, right?
Yeah.
I fall into that level where I can't take,
I thought that.
I can't
myself.
Extract joy out of anything anymore. And I don't like anything because I should have really liked this movie.
I